Welcome to Fluxedo Junction. I'm Scott Kukler. Each episode, we bring you the best music of all genres from throughout the world, and this week we'll be speaking with musician, guitarist, and songwriter Johnny A. Having come to prominence as the musical director of Jay Giles Band singer Peter Wolf's band, coordinating the onstage arrangements, playing on several tours, and co-producing Wolf's 1996 album Long Time, Johnny was asked to join the Yardbirds as their lead guitarist in 2015. On top of all of this, Johnny has maintained a prolific solo career, spanning three full-length albums, a Grammy nomination, the honor of Boston Music Awards Blues Artist of the Year for 2010, and a spot in the revered Boston Music Hall of Fame. His latest project is Beckola, a career retrospective of Jeff Beck's music that he'll be bringing to audiences across America. Let's get things started then with a live performance featuring Johnny A on guitar. Here's Shapes of Things by the Yardbirds, here on Fluxedo Junction. Excellent. Okay, so we've actually had you on the show before, although it was years ago, and at that time you were working with the Yardbirds, and now you're coming back to Long Island. You're going to be performing on April 21st in Riverhead at the Suffolk Theater for your Jeff Beck show, Beckola, celebrating the music of Jeff Beck. And I wonder if you can sort of give us an idea on exactly what kind of an impact Jeff Beck's music has had on your career?
Oh, it's probably immeasurable, because I probably would not be the guitarist I am if it wasn't for Jeff Beck and his constant inspiration and influence. I first got turned on to Jeff Beck through the Yardbirds when their first album hit the States the day after my birthday in 1965.
Which
I just was really over the top about, you know, everything about his approach. He had a lot of sarcasm in his playing, a lot of humor, a lot of sensitivity, a lot of aggression, a lot of sensitivity. you know, he was a really multifaceted player. And, you know, from a rock standpoint, there's probably, I would defy anybody to say that any of these famous guitar players to say that Jeff Beck wasn't their favorite guitar player.
Yeah.
He's everybody's favorite guitarist as far as, I think, rock music goes. And obviously he went beyond by, you know, getting into fusion, and then later in his career getting into, you know, he started to do kind of some R&B stuff with Rough and Ready, and then he got into, you know, the stuff that he's into in the later years. But, you know, his impact on me is pretty profound, I would say.
Now, your band includes vocalist Mike Gill, drummer Marty Richards, bassist Dean Cassell, and keyboardist Steve Hunt. Has working with this particular lineup helped define the arrangements for the songs? I mean, that sounds almost like a no-brainer, but I know you to be a pretty precise band leader, you know, based on your solo projects and solo recordings. How easy is it for you to convey your vision to the other members of the band?
Well, that's a good question. And I think it's an appropriate question because, you know, I want to make it clear that, you know, there's a lot of tribute acts out there. This isn't necessarily a tribute act. We're not dressing up. We're not getting shag haircuts. We're not doing that. What we're doing is we're trying to capture the spirit of Jeff's music. And, of course, you play certain figures the way they need to be played, because that's part of the song, the melody, etc. But, you know, we take chances. We're going to improvise. And picking the band, well, I'm using my rhythm section that I've used for years, Marty Richards, who also played with Joe Perry Project and Jay Giles Band and Gary Burton and Duke Robillard, and my bass player, who is still currently with John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band, but he also played with Sue Tedeschi and Barrence Whitfield, and the keyboardist, Steve Hunt, who you mentioned, played with Alan Holdsworth, Stanley Clark, Billy Cobham. And, you know, these are really multi-talented musicians and adept at a lot of different varied musical styles. So what was important was, first of all, to get top-caliber players that would be able to cover the breadth of Jeff's career, because we're trying to do a retrospective and really kind of celebrate all the eras of his music, starting back in 66, or not 67, I guess, with the Jeff Beck Group and going up into the present. So, you know, these are guys that have to play rock blues, that have to play R&B, that have to play fusion, that have to play different stuff. And we haven't put in a lot of rehearsals as far as group rehearsals. I think there'll be a total of 4 rehearsals before we hit the stage. But there was a lot of front loading involved with the musicians where, you know, I had given them a set list back in December.
Wow.
And said, okay, here's the set list. You know, you're on your own. You know, we're going to get together and do a handful of rehearsals before we hit the stage. But these are guys that are pros and they're used to this type of stuff. And that's not why they were picked for it, because I knew they'd be up for the challenge. And we've done, we've done 3 full-scale production rehearsals. We have 1 more before our first date. And it fell together very, very quickly because, you know, they are adept musicians and they took it seriously.
Now, you mentioned musical diversity with regards to the members of the band, but I'd like to speak about your own musical diversity, and that's nowhere more evident than your list of credits, quite honestly. Now, before I start running down this partial list, because a full list would take us all day, but I just want to remind everybody that, you know, I first became aware of you through your own music, and I really, this is back a long time ago when I was working over at Koch Records. And I think we had a very brief conversation in those days about maybe doing something. And, you know,
yes.
Koch just wasn't the home. At that point, Koch wasn't the home that anybody really wanted to go to for that. But your credits include, like, some giant names that are right up there with Jeff Beck. I mean, Bobby Whitlock, Doug Clifford from Creedence. And then, of course, you know, your long time working with Peter Wolf. How is it, how can I phrase this? How do you have to adjust your skill set to be able to help some of these visionary people achieve their vision when you're somebody who's got to be equally as demanding as your own band leader?
Well, that's a really good question too, Scott. Thanks for asking great questions, by the way.
Thank you.
I think it's important when you come into a situation as a side person. You know, and yes, I am a band leader and a solo artist, and you know, I run my own career and I arrange and write and do all that stuff. But I think it's important that when you're asked to fulfill a role for another artist, I think it's the ultimate goal is to support that artist and what they need to do. And hopefully you get enough creativity to leave your own little signature on things. But in the case of Peter Wolf, you know, that was another challenging gig because, you know, I was Peter's musical director, I think, for 8 years, and co-produced one of the albums with him. And, you know, you had to do music that was from the Jay Giles Band and kind of be true to that style and that energy. And then his solo albums had some fantastic players on it, Jeff Golub and, you know, Elliot Easton and all kinds of people. So, you know, you had to be able to serve the song, serve the artist, and hopefully maintain some of your own personality in the struggle of doing it all, you know?
Yeah. I used to follow on wherever it would lead me. A lot of lovers had me when they really didn't need me. Fever in the blood, fever in the brain. No one walking out tonight down on lover's lane. Romeo is dead, Juliet is dying. Love and death has got this whole town crying. Baby, look at the moon. The moon was lying. My heart is just a fool. Fools keep trying. I got $100. Won't last me till the morning. Take a little pleasure, take a little pain. Wanna take a chance tonight down on lover's lane. Oh, Romeo is dead, Juliet is dying. Love and death has got this whole town crying. Death beneath the moon was lying. My heart is just a fool, fools keep trying. But my time, and it's
what is your day like? I've never met a musician who has a typical day, and I'm sure it changes radically from, you know, being on the road or working in the studio on a project. But how much time are you able to devote to honing your craft? I mean, obviously you're a master player and you mastered your craft as a instrumentalist a long time ago. But I know, just as an instrumentalist myself, you have to work hard to maintain that level. It's almost like being an Olympic athlete at the level that you do it. And I'm thinking of this specifically because I just saw that documentary about King Crimson, and they showed Robert Fripp getting off of an airplane. He was exhausted, and he had a show that night, and he was like, all right, I have to go practice for 3 hours before the show tonight. And the filmmaker says to him, well, can't you just give yourself a day off? And Fripp's answer is, if I were an Olympic athlete, you wouldn't ask that. He said, if I go up there and I play this show without warming up for 3 hours, it'll be a disaster. I have to do it. And then they show him diligently sitting in his hotel room by himself with one of those crappy little metronomes you get at Sam Ash, and running through all sorts of different scales. And is it necessary for you to do that as well? Do you have to work hard to keep your chops up?
I have to work hard. I do play every day. I mean, my day typically is, I don't sleep a lot, so now I might go to bed a little earlier than normal, like around midnight or something like that, but I'm usually up at 5 a.m., and I usually go down into the studio, and I start playing for a couple hours before my wife even gets up, and then we'll have coffee or breakfast, and then I'll go down, play some more. But my routine of playing is kind of more about, I don't practice scales. I kind of work on nuance and expression and tone a lot. And if there's a particular phrase or song that I've worked on, you know, I do a lot of chord melody stuff too. And a lot of that stuff I have to kind of keep up, because that requires muscle memory, not only muscle memory, but brain memory. With some of these things, like I had a project called From A to Beatles, where we were doing a show of 30 Beatles songs reimagined instrumentally. And as you can imagine, I'm trying to put the melody, the background vocals, you know, certain orchestrational parts in the arrangement all in one guitar, because it was a trio. So that stuff has to be kept up. And then, as you know, if you've been following me, I have a solo show that's just called Me and My Guitars, in which I do looping, and that's a pretty intense brain workout. And I have to go back. Like right now, I'm into this Jeff Beck thing, so my days are consistently working on those songs. But right after the Jeff Beck thing, I have to go in to do a solo show, and I'll have to sit down with my looper set up and basically immerse myself in that for a few hours a day leading up to the show, so I can just kind of keep things straight in my brain. But, you know, as far as guitar approach, I work on nuances. I work on picking technique. I work on velocity of my right hand. I work on tone a lot, vibrato, expression, trying to be lyrical like a vocalist. I mean, that's kind of what my devotion is to as far as my instrument goes.
You went in exactly the direction that I was hoping you would go. And before I go any further, I'm about to get a little nerdy music-wise on you, because I'm a music teacher, and I know that some of my guitar students will be listening to this. And in listening to your music, you know, your originals, I have noticed what you've just described, the paying attention to you know, chord movement and just really letting that dictate where things go. It's one of the things that I always try to impart to my students, that yes, lead guitar is great, and you know, it's fun to be a shredder, and it's, you know, we all love that. But really, it's about the chords. You know, it's really about, even if you're a bass player And you're a bass player who does, because I know there are certainly bass players who use chords, but a lot of them don't. But still, even those bass players, I feel like they need to know about chords, because you need to know how to make your decisions. You need to know what makes up every chord. You need to know what makes sense to go to within the confines of the structure of the composition. I mean, there's so many different ways of talking about this, because you can talk about it in terms of constructing a part, or you can talk about it in terms of composing a piece of music. But this is actually something that you and Jeff Beck have in common as players, isn't it? Because he was a very, very thoughtful and melodic player, and really approached playing guitar like a jazz musician would. And I get the same feeling from listening to your music as well. Is that accurate?
The comparison to me and Jeff, I'm not really sure that, you know, we're probably worlds apart. You know, I can definitely see what his influence has done on me in my own playing. I hear that, but, you know, the thing about Jeff, that's unlike anybody. I mean, the guy was totally unpredictable and was fearless, you know, in what he did, and was not afraid to make mistakes, you know, and if you're a player and you know what you can hear them, but one of the absolute, you know, magic things that Jeff had, he was able to land on his feet all the time. You know, he was like a cat. He would just always land on his feet. But, you know, unpredictable player, volatile player, very emotional player, never really played the same way twice. You know, and digging in, you know, now going after this celebration of his music and trying to figure out how I was going to approach this, because this is... you know, this is not an easy task, and it's not an easy task because he's so iconic, and it's almost like blasphemous to try to do anything that, you know, and play his music in one respect. And as a matter of fact, I had turned down the booking agent that asked me to put this together. I turned him down three times before I decided to do it, and the only way I could really approach this thing was to really approach the way I approached the Yardbirds, which was, you know, and there I had to cover Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, and Jimmy Page, pretty much. And that was try to capture the spirit of those songs and what those guys did and those particular recordings at that time of, in that period of time, but also really try to maintain my own personality. And because I realized there are people out there that might be Johnny A fans that want to see what I do. And so in going after the Beck thing, I started to listen to a lot of his live recordings, and I just noticed how different he played the same song over and over. He really didn't approach it the same way. So that's the kind of the liberty that I've given the band and myself, the freedom to explore the songs, try to capture the spirit, and celebrate the music in that way, in trying to capture the spirit, and just, you know, interpret the way we interpret it.
Well, the website that people can go to check out everything that you're up to, there's a few places they can go. They can go to johnnya.com. They can go to your Facebook page, Johnny A. Official. And, of course, we're primarily talking about your upcoming Jeff Beck tribute at the Suffolk Theater in Riverhead. But as we wrap up, I'd love to just find out what's next for you after that. What can we look forward to from you with regards to your original music in the near future?
Well, you know, the way, as you know, Scott, because you were in the record industry, the music industry is not what it used to be. Making albums and, you know, trying to retail product is not what it used to be. And, you know, for example, the last full LP that I put out of original music was 2014.
Right.
You know, and I didn't even have a label for it. I had to put it out myself, couldn't find a label for it. You know, it sold relatively well because of my fan base, but... You know, I kind of, after that, I just decided that I want to interpret music. I mean, I'm still writing all the time, but I really like the challenge of interpreting music. And I did it with the Beatles thing, and I'm doing it with the Beck thing now. And I do it with, and I've always kind of done it on my own records, with whether it was the Jimmy Webb or Wichita Lineman or,
yeah,
you know, the Bee Gees, the Gibbs Brothers, To Love Somebody, or whatever the song is. And I find a lot of joy in challenge in taking someone else's songs and reinterpreting them instrumentally. And they're mostly vocal songs that I tackle. They're not instrumental tunes. But what's on the horizon for me, right now we're going to see how the seven Jeff Beck Ola shows go. And we'll see if it has legs. And if people want to come out, and maybe we'll book some more. You know, I'll be doing some more of the Just Me and My Guitar solo show. Those will be coming up. More of the same, to be honest with you. I just like to get out there and keep working. I have a trio that I also have called The Blues, The Beatles, and Beyond, which I celebrate some blues stuff. I do some Beatles stuff, and I do some of my own material in that show. It's a trio. So it's just trying to keep working and keep the wheels moving, you know?
Well, like I said, on April 21st, Johnny will be performing at the Suffolk Theater in Riverhead. The show is Beck Ola, celebrating the music of Jeff Beck. You can go to johnnya.com for more information on everything he's working on, or find his Johnny A official page on Facebook. And I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I have so much respect for you, not just as an instrumentalist and a player, but also as just a music business person and somebody who has managed to succeed in a business where just about everybody else is struggling to just keep their head above water. So thank you so much for taking time away from working on what you have to work on to speak with us. And we're looking forward to seeing you at the show.
Well, Scott, I appreciate the support through the years, and of course, supporting this show and trying to get the word out for me. I do appreciate it, and I hope I do get to see you at the show, and great to speak with you again.
Likewise, sir. Likewise. Thank you so much.